Hello, friends. This is your friend Kent C. Dodds, and I'm joined by my friend Bianca Gandolfo. Hi, Bianca.
Hi there.
So, Bianca and I go way back. We were trying to decide whether we've met each other in person, decided that maybe we met each other at a friend and master's get together a couple of years ago in San Francisco. So, yeah, Bianca and I are both friend and master's instructors, and I'd love for you all to get to know Bianca a little bit better. So, could you introduce yourself to our audience here?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Bianca. I am a software engineer at Thumbtack, and I'm a front-end master instructor as well. I focus on JavaScript, but lately I've been moving into the Android world, which has been interesting.
Yeah, kind of stretching new muscles and maybe flexing muscles you didn't know you have.
Yeah, for sure. It's actually kind of an identity crisis because I've been teaching JavaScript for so long, and it's been such a core to me, to then now I'm doing a lot of Kotlin and I kind of like it. And it's kind of like, oh no, like who am I?
Yeah, I actually so much of my identity is wrapped up in JavaScript as well, and I'm just kind of glad that JavaScript has been successful in spite of itself, and that like it's not going away anytime soon, because I'm also worried that I'm gonna move on or that the world will move on and I'll be stuck back with this JavaScript like it's Fortran or something.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how programming language can be so tied up in your identity? Like it's just a language, it's just a tool. And yet, I hold it so dear.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is just a tool, but it's a tool that has in some way done a lot, I guess, as much as a tool can do. So, sort of makes sense, but is kind of silly at the same time.
I guess it does, it really does change people's lives. Like, the people that we're teaching, having the tool of JavaScript opens a lot of doors for people. So it is really powerful in that
Yeah,
way.
absolutely. Well, Bianca, so when we talked about what we wanted to present to the audience today, we talked quite a bit about self-awareness and goal setting, and you have a project that I think people will find really interesting, which is called Code and Coffee with Bianca. Can you talk about what that's all about and why people should go give that a look? It's andcoffee.io.
So the idea behind Code and Coffee is that we're all really busy and yet we're also ambitious and we have goals and maybe those goals aren't yet defined. So Code and Coffee takes you through a process to help you refine and focus your goals and then achieve them in sort of bite-sized chunks. So 15 minutes a day while you have your coffee in the morning or whatever you do in the morning. Just having that focus time to achieve your goals. And so it doesn't have to be hard. It's not overwhelming. It's just consistent, structured progress and a community to support you in that.
So you're saying that my goal doesn't have to be like build a rocket and go to Mars or something like that. I can do something a little bit smaller, but like if I do a smaller goal, then doesn't that mean that I'm like being complacent or I'm being I'm not reaching for the stars? Why do you think it's important to keep the goal small?
Well, I think you can have big goals too, but it makes sense to me in sort of the life that I want to live, which is like a nice, relaxed, and joyful life, to take the bigger goals and break them down into smaller goals so that first of all, if it's too much, you might not actually even start. So getting to a place where it seems like it's achievable helps get you through that motivation barrier.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, that you wouldn't even start. Like, there are definitely projects that I have. I'm looking at my backyard, where it just seems like so much work, that if you have 15 minutes to spare, the last thing that you want to do is go work on chipping away at that goal when, like, especially some of those bigger things take more than 15 minutes just to get in the right headspace. So what if I do have this really big goal? Like I want to pull myself, out of my current working situation and become a senior engineer, or I want to learn how to knit, or like, I don't know, maybe that's not a really huge goal. That's something I could do in 15-minute increments, yeah. But like some really big goal that I want to accomplish. How would, like, is there a way that I can break that down into something that I can do in 15 minutes every day?
Yeah, sure. I think it takes a certain level of planning and focus. So the first part of Code and Coffee is kind of just really getting clarity on your goal. I'm expecting a lot of people who join the community to be looking to change jobs, because that's kind of my niche. I teach data structures and algorithms. So a lot of people in my audience are training for technical interviews, but I meet a lot of people who don't really know exactly what they want next. Like, do they want to go the startup route? Do they want to work at a big company? Do they want to freelance? Do they want to just, you know, join another industry? So a lot of people, they don't make the next step because they're not really sure what the right step is, and they're comfortable enough in their day job to not make any changes, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily happy or they're reaching their full potential. So the idea is like, okay, let's get clarity on what you really want. And once you have that, let's make a plan to, you know, quote unquote, like attack this goal and then carry it out. So that's sort of the concept.
Yeah. I like that idea a lot. So why is it only 15 minutes a day then? Like, well, let's say I've got this goal that I want to accomplish and I'm really eager and just really want to get it done. Why shouldn't I just be burning candles at both ends to make this thing happen?
Yeah. So I think we have a lot of messages, especially in tech, around like, if you want to achieve hard things, you have to burn the candle at both ends. You have to kill yourself. You have to, like, you know, go, go, go. And I just don't think that's true. I think that what you really just need is structure and consistency. And and also, like, this is your one precious life. Is that what you want to be doing to yourself? So it's kind of like it's about like how you want to experience your life. And if you want to be like ambitious and do big things and also enjoy it, and you have a day job, and I'm assuming most people have a day job. And so for me, this is like based on something like a big change in my life that has like just really increased my enjoyment of my work, because I have my regular job here at Thumbtack, and then I also work on side projects. And so what I've been doing is, while I'm eating breakfast and having my cup of coffee, I'm working on my side project, and then I go to work, and I do that every day. And it has just like revolutionized my productivity and my stress levels. And I'm finding a lot more enjoyment in that as well.
I can think of a specific project I should implement this for, and I'm writing a novel, or I used to be able to say I was writing a novel, but I haven't really done much with it for a while. And every time that I look at this big project that I want to do, and now I'm in the editing phase, which for me is not anywhere as fun as the creative writing, the story in the first place phase. And just looking at that big project, it's not nearly as much fun, and it's a lot of work, and so I do nothing. But if instead I were to, you know, take this attitude of just 15 minutes every day, then I'm sure that I can make a lot of progress pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's actually really amazing how much you can get done if you really focus for 15 minutes. I mean, like, turn off all of your messaging, Slack, you know, whatever you have, and then just focus for 15 minutes. You can actually get a lot done.
So Bianca, have you always felt this way? Like, is this something that is just kind of ingrained in you, or is this something that you've learned on experience of like, this is the way to find satisfaction in life?
No, I mean, I definitely was the burn the candle at both ends. I would get burnt out. I would pull all-nighters, you know, well into my late 20s. And especially preparing for things like workshops for front-end masters, which I have always done, like, in addition to working. And you did too for a while, so you probably know what that's like.
I totally get it.
it can be a lot. And so, I did that for a long time. And then I just realized that with some structure, I've realized in the past couple of years that I really thrive in this structured environment. Mm. And that comes from being I did the digital nomad thing for a while, where I traveled and I worked remotely and I kind of did more flexible jobs, and it was fine, but it's very different than my routine now, where I come into an office every day and I have the things that I do every day. I find that I thrive in that structure, and I don't identify as a person that thrives in that kind of structure. I see mm-hmm. myself as sort of a free spirit. I like adventure and all of that, but I've come to discover that I can be that way and also give myself some structure, so that I can not be as stressed and tackle these big projects that I want to do.
Yeah, you can kind of be a free spirit within the confines of that structure, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and take advantage of that, the productivity gains and everything that you're talking about.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So, what are kind of some of the some other benefits to or more specific benefits with regard to a more fulfilled, happier life when you avoid burning the candle at both ends, when you avoid just focusing so much effort on a single goal? Are there any benefits to kind of diversifying your interests? My goal could be, I want to be the best work employee that I could possibly be, so I'm going to spend this 15 minutes actually just working, mm-hmm. Doing the same thing. Is there any benefit to expanding beyond your regular day to day?
Yeah, I think that even if your goal is just to be the best employee that you are at your company, you can spend that 15 minutes a day on focusing on, sort of skill building within, whatever you're doing. Say you're a React developer, but maybe you're not as familiar with the internals of the web browser and JavaScript engine. You can take it to the next level and spend that 15 minutes every day working on that, rather than, I think it's important to do that, rather than I'm just going to push out the CR real quick in 15 minutes. It's about growing, it's not necessarily about productivity. It's about growth, I think. Mm. And taking that special time to focus on something a little bigger picture than, oh no, I have this project deadline looming. I need to get this done.
Yeah. And when you have those project deadlines, do you say, okay, well, for the next 2 weeks, I'm not going to do that 15 minutes? Or do you feel my impression would be that those 15 minutes would become even more valuable when you're under the gun like that?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. They say there's when you don't have a lot of time, that's the time you want to make time for the things that are important. It's about prioritization. I'm not going to say whenever I'm really stressed about a work deadline that I'm doing my 15 minutes every single day. It's important to be compassionate and realistic with what you can accomplish. And that's part of the idea behind Code and Coffee and sort of this new flow that I have for the past couple of years is, it's okay to take a day off if you need a day off, again, this is your life. How do you want to live it? Do you want to be feeling guilty and pressured and stressed? No, maybe you'll skip a day, but maybe you'll do 30 minutes the next day or whatever makes sense,
Yeah. Well, so what would you say to people who, are turning away at their goals and they keep on failing at whatever that goal is, or they're maybe failing isn't the right word, or they're just not finding the change or the improvement that they are hoping for. What would you say to somebody who's kind of feeling down on themselves because they haven't been able to accomplish those goals that they set for themselves?
That's a good question. I would say that, as long as they're continuing to feel like moved by the end goal, that they should keep going at it. I mean, it could be worth investigating the process and the approach that they're taking. But I wouldn't say like, oh, like, you know, you can be compassionate with yourself and not say like, oh, I'm just going to give up, you know, like, you know, but sometimes, you know, there is something about like, okay, when is it time to call quits? That's kind of, it's tricky, but also important. I'm not very good at it. Honestly, I just keep working at things, but, you know, could be, I would just like reflect on it probably.
Yeah. I guess it kind of does depend on the given scenario. And I've found that, I've definitely set goals that I haven't accomplished. And the process of working toward the goal is, half of the benefit of having the goal in the first place. And so, you know, I remember like pretty much any time I go hiking, there's a point when you're walking up the mountain that you turn around and you look back and you're just amazed at how far you've come. Every time I'm like, I can't believe that with these two human legs, I can like make myself rise this high above where I was before. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. And so maybe when somebody's feeling that way, they can, you know, metaphorically stop on the mountain and look back at where they've come.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I think the metaphor of like hiking or going on a journey is something that resonates with me a lot when I'm thinking about like trying to achieve something, right? It, you know, it feels hard in the moment, you know, but once you get to those heights and you look back or you have a view, you know, that's when you know that it's worth it.
Absolutely. Now, continuing with this metaphor of the mountain, I kind of like that that metaphor now. There are lots of mountains that we can go climb. Here in Utah, we've got Timpanogos and we've got other mountains. I don't know their name. we've got plenty of mountains around here. And there are lots of mountains to climb. Lots of different goals that people could set for themselves. How would you, what advice would you give somebody who isn't sure what goal to set for themselves?
Yeah, I think that's where the 15 minutes a day can be really helpful as a reflection piece. Just free writing, journaling. There are lots of exercises you can do to like sort of this like lifestyle design exercises. Have you ever heard of those?
No, that's interesting. What is
that? There's a whole concept called lifestyle design. It's kind of a cliche at this point, but it's something like worth looking into. It's about like looking at how your life is now and trying to figure out how to get to like your quote unquote like dream lifestyle. And so it's like all these exercises about like, how are you spending your days? How would you like to spend your days? Like make a pie chart of like how much time you spend working versus hiking. You know what I mean? And you kind of like see where you are and then think about ideally where you'd want to be. And then you try to bridge the gap.
Yeah. You know what? That actually reminds me of a couple of days ago, I recorded a podcast for, you know, Chats with Kent that was with Kelly Vaughn. And we talked about personal finance. And one of the first steps for getting control of your finances is recording, you know, where your money has been going. And so this seems very similar. You kind of record where have you allocated your time? Where are your priorities right now? And we have these priorities in our head of the things that we think we value. And then we have the things that we do with our time, which is actually the things we really do value. Right. And when you maybe put it down in a pie chart or something, you can, there's maybe a cognitive dissonance where you're like, wait, I thought that I valued this, but I guess I don't as much. You know, not to say that that time maps perfectly percentage-wise to what you value more, but like if you're not spending any of your time, you know, reading your scriptures when you want to be religious or whatever it is, then maybe that can wake you up to some of the goals that to a goal that you could set to be more of the thing that you want to be.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Cool. So is there, like, I know that some people just really want to be the best. They want to be the next Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or, you know, whatever aspirations that they have. Would you say that it's possible to accomplish that level of, I don't really want to call it success because success is kind of in the eye of the beholder and whatever. It's kind of what you value. But if somebody wanted to accomplish that level of human impact, I guess, mm-hmm. is this 15 minutes a day something that's practical for that situation, or is that not really does that not mesh well with the kinds of goals that some people might have?
I mean, I think that it could eventually get to that point, but I, you know, obviously 15 minutes a day is not enough. Mm. But I think in the 15 minutes a day, getting clarity can help you get that focus and motivation to figure out what it is that you want to do as that impact, right? So figuring out what that is and to get started along that path. But once you're on that path, right, then you're probably going to want to get into a more intensive mode, mm-hmm. you know, and that's okay too.
Yeah. Like maybe it could eventually, so you spend these 15 minutes a day working on this plan or this goal or whatever. And then once that has kind of solidified, you can take your day job and turn that thing into your day job. And then you can use that 15 minutes for some other personal growth.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the next thing you want to 15 minutes a day, you want to learn how to write poetry. And, you know, that's, yeah, exactly. So it's all about growth, getting to the next step. But once you've figured out that next step, you know, you need to do what's required. Again, that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be stressed all the time, but usually things worth doing have a certain level of stress. So I'm not saying we're going to be totally calm and zen and achieve our greatest dreams. It's just about let's not be overwhelmed and let's make the small steps so that we can get to those big things. And once it becomes your day job, if that's your goal, you know, I guess you'll be working 8 hours a day or whatever, however long people want to work. I don't know.
Yeah.
For me, it's less than 8 hours a day, but.
I think we've been fooled and raised in this culture of 8 hour day work days. And I think that we don't have to work that much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe that can be your goal, is to find a way to not work that much, which is something else to consider.
Yeah.
So can you give a couple tips on how to maximize the impact of those 15 minutes? I know that sometimes when I'm saying, okay, I'm going to go do this thing, and it should be really quick. And then I find out 2 hours later that I spent most of my time on Twitter or something ridiculous like that. So how do you maximize the impact of those 15 minutes?
I think how I do it is I try actually not to do social media or Slack or I'll have my texts open and stuff, but not sort of less immediate stuff before 9:30 in the morning is my preference. I don't always succeed, but the when I do my coffee, it's usually around 8:30 in the morning. So I try to not even have opened anything. Again, depends on how excited I am, if someone messaged me or not, something like that. Mm-hmm. But so I try to, but if when I focus, I close all that stuff and if I cannot be on my computer, I won't be on my computer, but often my work requires me to be on the computer, the things that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
So just whatever you think is going to distract you, put it away. You know, I think that's most people would figure that out on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the key tip that I got from you though is not even looking at it until after you've finished your first 15 minutes. So there was a time when the first thing that I would do when I picked up my phone in the morning was look at Twitter. And for a long time I did that. And only recently have I uninstalled the app and I'm not Like I did this once where I uninstalled the app, but then I logged into Twitter on the browser and it just like switched. And now I'm having a less good experience because the app or the browser isn't quite as good as the app. But so it basically changed nothing. So now I've uninstalled the app. I've logged out and my password is stored in 1Password. So I'd have to go through the whole whatever to log in. So like it takes long enough for me to realize, do I really want to do this? And so that's actually made a pretty big impact. So that's the thing that I'm taking away from your advice there, though, is that if you make sure that you do your 15 minutes before you get into those things in the morning, then that can be really helpful.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I just find if I don't start my morning off with reading a bunch of like emails and like, I'm more of an email person than a Twitter person. I've never really had social media on my phone actually. But I do love reading emails, even like promotional emails, like email marketing really works on me because I actually read the emails. But if I start off without like thinking about all of that in Slack, I'm also like big on, I like to read, see what has happened, you know, on Slack. But yeah, if I start my day off not doing that, it's just my day, I just feel really accomplished even just doing that. And I feel like it sets me up for a certain feeling. And I don't always succeed, you know, it's a process, but that's what I like to do.
Yeah, that's great. I like the message of self-compassion that you've kind of shared subtly throughout this whole conversation, where, you know, it's, you don't always succeed and sometimes you fail, and that's the kind of thing that you just get back up and try again, and you don't beat yourself up about it. Being, you know, self-aware, self-compassionate, I think is something that people could probably do more of.
Yeah, I agree. When I was working in the bootcamp world, I saw this a lot. Like, people were feeling, you know, they're just really hard on themselves trying to like make it to the next level. And in some ways it can be self-destructive, right? They're hyper-focused on how they're not succeeding. They're like not sleeping, they're not exercising, and that actually impedes your ability to succeed. So like actually being compassionate and managing your stress and being aware of your emotional state and keeping that in check can actually help you get further than, you know, like pulling your hair out because, you know, you don't understand some error that you're getting.
Yeah, I think that's great. And this kind of makes me think that like you want to expend your energy on the things that are providing value. And when you expend your energy beating yourself up about not succeeding in your goals or whatever it is, or not pushing hard enough, then that's it's worse than wasted energy, because it's energy directed at making life worse for you. And so by being self-aware and self-compassionate, then that's useful energy, because you, self-compassion doesn't mean that you just excuse yourself for the failures or for saying something rude to somebody or whatever, but it's acknowledging the mistake that you made and then moving beyond that and forgiving yourself for that and trying to do better.
Yeah, I agree. There's this concept, I think it's like of the second cut, where it's like the first cut is like you experience the whatever the negative thing is. Maybe it was a failure. Maybe you got frustrated. Maybe you were rude. And then you relive it in your head. And because we're humans, we can actually re-experience these things. And so it's like the second cut. Like, you don't need to keep cutting yourself for something you did before. You know, you already experienced that in the past. You know, it's better to move forward. It's not so easy, right? Like, all of us have, like, for me, if I say something really embarrassing, like, I'll just keep thinking about that. And then I just feel that, whatever that feeling is, like, shame, like, over and over again. And it's just not helpful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I had an experience yesterday where it just like it throws your day off, and it really like the way I've been practicing this a lot recently, and the way that I got over it was I talked with my wife about it, and I said, "Here's what's happening, and I'm dealing with this in my head, and I need to be productive this afternoon." And so we just kind of talked it through, and then I sat and just, you take deep, slow breaths, and you feel that feeling. Acknowledge the feeling, and then you kind of soothe that feeling away, and you can move on. Totally not easy to do.
Yeah, for sure. And it's very individual how people like self-soothe and get through these like destructive thought patterns. But I think that's a good strategy. Like talking it through, letting yourself experience it, deep breaths, like the breathing practices help me a lot, and then just moving forward, I think that's great.
Well, Bianca, we're down on our time here, and it's been a pleasure to chat with you. We've got actually two calls to action for people today. We couldn't really decide which we wanted, so we're going to do both. So the first is relevant to what we just wrapped up talking about, and that is to keep a self-awareness journal for 7 days. So just every night, write down the feelings that you had that day, stress, anxiety, depression, or happiness or excitement, or like the feelings that you had. Just be self-aware. And even better if you can acknowledge those things in the moment, so that you can deal with those feelings in the moment is awesome. But yeah, for 7 days, just write down some of the feelings that you had. And then our other homework for everybody is to take 15 minutes every day to work toward a goal, and just try it for a week and see how you feel about that. I think that you'll find you accomplish more than you do if you make sure that you're not distracted, and follow some of the advice that Bianca has given us. So, anything to add to that, Bianca?
Yeah, I would just love to hear from people if they've done the homework, what their experience is. I guess they can tweet at me. Bianca Gando would be a good way. Just let me know. Like, is it working for you? Do you need more time? Is 15 minutes too long? I'm curious how it lands.
Yeah, great. And then they can also join your Code and Coffee with Bianca community at andcoffee.io. I think that's a wonderful thing. So, awesome. Bianca, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. We'll chat with everybody else next time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Kent.
Yeah, sure.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
one.